Now more than ever, owning your personal brand is super important. And it's not just because it's about your reputation. It's because it's the number one thing that can help you stand out in today's business world. Our guest today is an expert at exactly that, helping you build a fantastic personal brand. And it's not just because he's great at teaching people on how to do it. He's done it himself. He's transformed his life from losing his job at the beginning of the pandemic to creating this massive personal brand and super successful journey as an entrepreneur that he loves to now give back and share with others to help them do the same. Welcome to the Learn It All podcast, the show for today's leaders who know that if you want to be great, you have to be continuously learning, because the best leaders aren't born or made, they're constantly in the making. I'm your host, Damon Lemby. I'm a two-time best-selling author and the CEO of Learn It, a live learning platform that has upskilled over 2 million people over the past 3 decades. Joining me for this episode is Ben Albert. Ben is the founder and host of the Real Business Connections podcast network. Ben is also a sought-after keynote speaker and business coach, and he helps others build strong personal brands by leveraging the power of LinkedIn and podcasting. Ben likes to say there's no single key to success. It's a combination lock, and each person has a unique combination of skills, mentors, and experience that helps unlock their full potential. We talk about two of my favorite things, and it's really helped transform my personal brand, the power of LinkedIn and podcasting. So without further ado, let's jump into this great conversation with Ben Albert. Can you tell us a little bit about how you went from being a zero to hero over, like what you like to say, over COVID?
Yeah. To go a step before the big COVID fiasco, I had just got a new role and I was on the 14th floor in my city of Rochester, New York. And I was in a building that's gorgeous. It's called the Chase Tower, and it's in most of the pictures of Rochester. So it was a great building in a city that I had lived my whole life. And I felt like I made it, you know, suit and tie to work, lots of energy, like really just like optimistic about what the future would bring. And on the side, honestly, my girlfriend was saying this for years. I hadn't made it. I was stressed. I was taking Xanax every Monday to get through the morning meetings. I really wasn't a hero. I really wasn't doing as good as I was presenting myself to be. And then COVID hit. We all know what COVID was, what COVID is. And I was, you know, last one in, first one out. I got let go from that sales executive role. And then I had that rough period where no one was hiring. I didn't know what to do. I was locked in, and on a whim started Balbert Marketing. On a whim started Rochester Business Connections, which was a Rochester business podcast. And in about a year, actually replaced my sales executive income as an entrepreneur, ultimately by podcasting, networking on LinkedIn, building a personal brand. And the laptop right in front of me today was all I needed as an online marketer. The big switch was, instead of doing this for corporate, I can actually do this for myself now. And whether we're in corporate or an entrepreneur, we can still get momentum in all the things I just said, personal branding, LinkedIn, podcasting. And the last thing I'll say, because the whole zero to hero and the replacing my sales executive, you know, income makes me sound pretty cool. And it is pretty cool. It took me my whole life of developing skills, learning from mentors, failing, that I just happened to become an accidental entrepreneur during the pandemic. But if 10 years prior, who knows, I probably would have failed. But it was all the learning and the progress throughout my career that prepared me for that moment to go from zero to hero, as we call it.
I like that. And as I was doing my research on you, and it, you also talked about learning how to stop playing small. Can you describe what you meant about that? Because to me, it's kind of like, again, having self-doubt or, you know, even imposter syndrome. Maybe I'm on the right track here, maybe I'm not, but can you share with our audience what you mean by stop playing small?
Yeah, and it was literal in my life. I know you were a really successful athlete. I dreamed of being one. I wanted to be the next Michael Jordan, had a cutout of Michael Jordan in my window, twice my friends were like, we didn't know your father was black. I'm like, no, this is a Michael Jordan.
I love it.
Standing in the window, watching people go by. But I had a jersey for every single day of the week, but I was actually the smallest boy in all of my high school, all of my middle school. Like, I was the smallest boy in my class the entire time. And I didn't live to be a basketball player, and I was physically small, but being physically small, and we can go into this, it's a long story, but having a little bit of frustration and abuse at home, I learned how to play small. So I'm physically small, but I also would play small. I would hide. I'd let someone else step up. I've always been, nowadays I'm still an incredible number two. I am an incredible follower. I'm an incredible advocate. I still struggle with being the number one, with being the leader. I always kind of hid behind my parents. I hid behind conflict. And in B2B business and entrepreneurship and just growing, like, you can't do that. So I didn't just, you know, flip a switch or turn, like, there's no magic pill. I've learned that you step up. You speak when someone says, does anyone have any feedback? You take a leadership role. But I wasn't born with these skills. You teach this all the time at Learn It All. It's like I had to start developing these skills, and I feel like I wouldn't have ever even started developing them if I didn't have a little bit of a chip on my shoulder from a young age.
That's great. Can you give me an example of a time where, you know, the teacher or somebody was saying, you know, raise your hand, where you got out of your comfort zone and you did step up?
I can give you way more examples of when I didn't.
Okay. Give me one of the, well, let's start with that. Let's go with that. Because you know what I love about that, Ben, is because I kind of reflect on my life and I'm like, there are certain opportunities that if I knew then what I know now, I'm like, why did I pass that opportunity up? Whether it was asking out a girl or whether it was trying out for a baseball team or something, where it's like, you know, what's the worst thing that could have possibly happened? Who cares? You hear the word no or you don't make it. But I want to hear a great story about something that you wish you would have stepped up for.
You know, my clearest failure, and it wasn't I wish I wouldn't step up, but I think it's part of why I stopped stepping up, is I stepped up in the front of the class. This had to have been like second, third grade. And what we would do is we would read the morning lunch menu to the students of the class, and everyone would kind of put in what they want for lunch, so they would make it and have it ready for us. One of the items, the entrees for lunch, was bologna. Now, I don't know if anyone knows how to spell bologna, but it is bologna. And I stood there and I stared at this word, and then I looked at the teacher and I looked at the class and I froze because I had no clue what this word I was looking at was. I had never seen it before. And then I go, bologna? And then, like, not everyone, but let's just say everyone, like, the class starts to laugh. And I look up at the teacher and she's like, you mean baloney? And that tiny little silly face, like, it was something that would be great in a sitcom. Like, that failure made me not want to get in front of class ever again. And it wasn't actually until it made me feel like crap. It made me feel like the smallest person in the world. It made me feel like this is where things like public speaking anxiety comes from, because everybody's looking at you. They're laughing at you. They're making fun of you. It's a bad feeling. And it wasn't until around college time that I actually took a public speaking class. And like, by the time I was a senior in college, I was like, I'll give the presentation. Like, I had worked on it enough in my head that I was like, I'm going to step up, going to take a class around it. I took a public speaking class, then I took a communication class, then I became a communication major when I barely spoke the first 13 years of my life. I decided to go into communication. Like, I was a crazy person, but I learned how to communicate, again, probably coming from a place of like, I hate getting laughed at. I'm going to show them. I think it's okay. I think a lot of decisions we make are like, I'm going to show them. But it made me qualified to speak about it because I've seen both ends.
I like what you're saying, because your approach to things are, like you said, you have a chip on your shoulder and you want to be able to prove that you can get it done instead of even just falling back, which I think is great. So as you were saying, you know, what happened over COVID wasn't typically just because of what that time and place. It was the 10 years leading up to everything that you've done, you know, all the learning, maybe some of the failures and everything like that. You talk a lot about there's really no key to success. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, where's my, here we go.
Where's your key?
I have a keychain and I'll lift it up. There is no key. And if I'm grimacing, this is a side note. I tore my rotary cuff early this week. So if you don't see me left my right arm, because I barely can, I just lifted up this there
it's
is
no key.
It's hard
getting old, Ben. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I get out of bed in the morning and I'm like, oh my goodness.
And for me, that's part of the lifelong learning. Like, I might be on fire and I'm going to the gym and then I get an injury and now I can't go to the gym. So, like, life is always giving us tests and lessons. So that hurt to show y'all. But it was a keychain for anyone listening to the audio that says there is no key, because I believe there is no key. It's a combination lock. Similar like to a padlock in your D1 divisional gym. We each have our own unique combination. We each have our own unique DNA code. Why do they take our fingerprint when we get in trouble? It's because we have a unique fingerprint. So I believe there's no key. It's a combination lock. And people, professionals, just human beings have a different combination of skills. They have a different combination of mentors. They live in a different location. They're of a different race. They're of a different economic status when they're born into this world. Like, everybody comes from a different level. So the key isn't to just think you can take a magic pill or follow one playbook. Playbooks work, but you can't just follow one playbook and assume that it'll answer every question. You need to learn how to audible. You need to learn how to be curious. You might be following a playbook, but you're playing the wrong sport. So it's like there is no one individual key. It's a combination. And if we can remain curious enough to find our own combination, that's how the most successful people become successful. They put themselves in position where their combination can come to the top and they can succeed.
I love that. And I think one of the things you said is really important for our listeners to hear is if you can remain curious enough. I think it's so important to remain curious. And what I like to say, and I've really tried to get better at this, is you could learn from everyone. You know, My wife drags me to an event where I don't know anybody. I could go into the event, I could be miserable, or I could get out of my comfort zone and just have conversations with people and be present and actually listen to what people have to say, right?
I couldn't agree more. It's some of the most brilliant things come from the most unexpected places. You might even think you're in a room full of turds and then a pony pops up. You never know.
That's true. You know, there's times you go to a place and you're like, I'm going to be miserable. Then you actually make a connection with somebody and you're like, hey, this is actually worth being here. And, you know, so coming in with the right mindset helps. I also really like what you said. Playbooks work, but don't just settle in on one playbook. Don't just read one book or follow one thought leader and say, just go this direction. I'm a big fan of saying, you know, you don't need to reinvent the wheel, so you don't need to start from scratch. But if you can learn from all these different people, and you can kind of, like you said, you just merge it together. You have your own fingerprint. You have whatever. That's how you can build your own knowledge base and help you get successful. So all that's great. And what I really like about you, Ben, is you're super humble and you know, not afraid to admit you make mistakes and everything like that. And I think that that is a true sign of a great leader. So speaking of leaders, let's just transition into how do you help thought leaders around their personal brand and amplifying their voice?
Wow. So this is such a big question. How do I help thought leaders in what category? As me providing services to them, me doing peer-to-peer support, do you want us to workshop a strategy we can do easily? Like, where do you want to take the conversation?
You know, let me rephrase that. Let's start over and let's go with, why is having a personal brand important?
Wow. I mean, Steve Jobs said that your personal brand is basically what people say when you're not in the room, what people say behind your back. So as a leader, as a driven professional, as just any human being out there, don't you want to be perceived as well? Like, don't you want there to be in alignment, there's kind of two parts of branding here. It's how I want to be perceived. What do I value? What am I looking to accomplish? How am I showing up? What platforms am I showing up on? And then it's how are people perceiving me? And sometimes those two can be misaligned. I might think that I'm a great leader, but my team sees that I always show up late and I'll never give them a one-to-one. So there's how we want to be perceived, and then it's how people perceive us. And it's huge. Now, if I want to make money as an entrepreneur, having a personal brand is going to help me market my business and drive sales. But even if I'm just leading a team, the way my team and the culture, the way I build and like I'm perceived is huge. And a lot of people don't like even want to, I've talked to high school students about this a lot. And the thing with young adults is like, don't judge me. Like, don't judge me. Don't tell me what to do. If someone's going to be judgmental, like they're just not my people. And I kind of actually really like that attitude. But the unfortunate truth is people are going to judge you whether you like it or not. So part of building your personal brand is creating a brand around who are you empathetic? Do you listen? Are you faith-driven? Are you a team player? Are you a lone wolf that gets the job done? All these things are all right, but what is your personal brand? What is your personal values, your skills? How do people perceive you? And we want that to be positive and in alignment. Like if people saw me as an individual contributor, but I wanted to be a team player and I'm committed to being a team player, but people see me as like the lone wolf, that's not good, right? So just getting clarity on how we want to be like, how people perceive us, and then you can get strategic if you want to, but you can actually create a brand around that vision for yourself.
Now, listeners might be sitting out there thinking, okay, well, this is great, but that seems like a lot of work. And where does somebody start to learn how to start getting clear? How do they build that clarity?
Yeah, I mean, is it a lot of work? Like everything in life is a decision. Like I have a 10 o'clock meeting. I showed up 2 minutes late today because I had internet issues. So that's a bad reflection on me. I know it's 2 minutes late, but I have a 10 o'clock meeting. Do I arrive at 9:57 or do I arrive at 10:03? I don't think that's that much work. I don't think that's that complicated, but there's just little decisions you make every single day. But what's more important than anything is like, what do you value? And if you understand what you value, you want to be with a team, with a culture, with an organization. You want to attract clients. You want to attract opportunities, conversations, friends that have similar values. So it might feel complicated. We can go through like a super quick exercise. It's not complicated. It might feel complicated, but if you understand what you value, then you can actually just create your right life around those values.
And I think it's, and I agree with you, it's not that complicated or difficult to do. It just takes the time. And like you said, you have decisions to make. And I think it's really important to get it done, especially in today's world where, there's a lot of uncertainty and lack of trust. And when people are looking to hire somebody or they're looking to engage with you as a vendor, it's very often they are going to go check you out on LinkedIn. They are going to go look at you on Instagram, and they're going to see how you're presenting yourself and the work you're doing, because they want to connect or partner with somebody that they can trust. And it's more difficult than ever these days to be able to do so.
Thanks for bringing up the fact they're looking you up, because we haven't really even gotten into social media or websites or online branding, because creating an online brand is just everything we're discussing on steroids. Like you have a brand, whether you like it a lot, even in your family, even in your community, even in the workplace you work for with your vendors. But then social media gives you the opportunity to actually inject steroids into that brand. When if you're someone like me who's in a revenue-driven role, it helps me make more money because my clients like what I do. Well, I can inject steroids and tell client stories online and bring in more business. So the whole internet world has just made personal branding more important than it's ever been if you're a business professional.
And do you think that as a business professional, there's still an opportunity to set yourself apart by setting up an online brand on LinkedIn and, you know, contributing on a regular basis?
100%. If you're a marketer, it's a little difficult because I feel like all the marketers are doing it. But the more boring the role, the more opportunity, in my opinion. Because I don't know about you. Yeah, it's so true. Like
I love that. I love that, by the way. I just want to stop for 1 second. Because think about it. If you're an accountant, right? Or you're an operations person, you could... And sorry for everybody out there who's an operations or accountant. I don't mean your work is boring, but it's so true that you could set yourself apart by getting out there and telling your story. But keep going.
I mean, I could go all day. A great friend and client of mine, Dave Pulsini, has a podcast called Dear Rochester Retire Well. He's a financial advisor. He's the head of a firm. And if you look at financial advisors, I feel like all their headshots look the same. When they're paying in to have materials, a lot of their social posts look the same. It's stock photos. Due to compliance, there's a lot they can and can't say. So he's out here with a Rochester, New York-based finance podcast that's pretty big in our city. And he's the only one in Rochester with Dear Rochester Retire Well. Now, granted, he's really good. But most of these advisors don't have some magic pill. They're not counting they're not trading stocks for you at a high level. Like, most of them have similar tools, but people want to hire David because he's got the podcast, he's got the brand, he's online. And then for what it's worth, he shows up in person the same way he does online. So it's very easy for him to win business at the point. I know I'm giving a lot of information, but this is like his vision.
It's great. I love it.
He doesn't want to win all the business for himself anymore. His role is to be the leader of the company and feed business to all his partners and all his team members. So that's another big thing. Having an ambassador for the company that can create this, you know, almost like stardom and thought leadership will trickle down business, not to just themselves, but everybody they're partnered with that company.
Two things you said right there that I kind of wanted to reflect on, which I think is very key, is that David is good at what he does. And I think that that's just important anyways, because you could create the best brand online, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, if you're not coming through for your family or coming through for your clients, then nothing's going to really work. So I think it's important to have pride and put in the work and effort to being good and at what you do. And number two is showing up online the same way you show up in person. And you are a really authentic, genuine person, and I do my best to be as well. And I think that that's really important too. Just be yourself, right? Just be yourself online, be yourself in person, because people could see right through that.
Yeah. I mean, I have real on my shirt, so I need to keep it real. And it seemed like do you show up differently online than in person? You seem like you're very value-driven and committed to helping people. That's probably not just online, Damon.
No, I'm the same everywhere I go.
You made it sound like you might not be, and I just don't believe that.
No. Maybe I misstated that. I do my very best to just be the same online.
You were just
as
being humble. You made a humble statement, like I try, and I'm like, I don't think you try. I think it's actually pretty consistent.
Well, you're always continuing to try. I'm a big believer. You're always evolving, right? Mm-hmm. So you always have to just keep doing your best to do it. So no, you just get what you get, and that's how it goes. So I was mentioning to you before we got online that I talked to quite a few senior level executives, entrepreneurs, and they've seen me since my book came out over a year ago, being a podcast guest and now hosting the Learn It All podcast for the last year. And a lot of them are dabbling with the idea of doing it. They're like, you know, are you enjoying it? Which, by the way, I love doing it because I get to meet people like you. But what advice, Ben, do you have for somebody who's curious about the podcast industry? Should they start with, and they have some thought leadership, should they start with guesting or should they spin up their own podcast?
It's such a good question. we can't put this in a quote because it's trademarked, but I always love going back to Nike, just do it. Like, if you have a thought, if you have an inclination, like, I want to start a podcast, I want a guest on a show, the best way to get clarity is just to go out and do it. Because the beauty is, this is not just podcasting, it's anything we create in life. Our first go might be our worst go. Our first 10 goes might stink, but we're not going to get better unless we actually put in the reps over time. And I love the end question there. Should they start a podcast or guest on shows? If you're called to start a podcast, just do it and start a podcast. But if you've never been on a live stream, you've never spoken in a conversation like this on a mic, the lowest barrier to entry is to guest on a show. Now you need to find someone and pitch them and give them enough confidence that you can be a great guest on their show. But the host does all the planning. The host has the meeting room you jump on. The host does post-production. The host is going to send the RSS feed so you can get it on Apple and Spotify and everywhere. The host is going to promote it on social media. You, my friend, is the guest. Me right now gets to be the celebrity. So I encourage people, go guest on a show in relation to something you're passionate about. If you were to put me on Ballerina's R Us podcast, I would look silly. But if you put me on a podcast related to podcasts, marketing, LinkedIn, personal growth, even basketball or music, I could talk out of my ass all day and realistically provide value because I'm passionate about it. So think of something you're passionate about. If you have this thought like, maybe I can, don't be that person that doesn't raise their hand that we talked about before. Just do it. Start. It's easier to guess than to start your own show, but get your feet wet. I don't know what devices people are comfortable with, but one of the easiest way to do it is just do an Instagram Live or a Facebook Live and just like delete it afterwards because you probably only had 2 listeners anyways, no disrespect. So maybe you just go on an Instagram Live and just see if you're comfortable with the platform.
I think that's great advice. And when I first started with this, I just went on as a guest, and I think this goes for everything in life. I was just absolutely awful. I mean, beyond awful. And I ran into the guy's name's Andy Stork, and I actually spoke to Andy yesterday. He's going to be on my show in a week. I ran into him at a conference, and I told him, I pulled up some of my coworkers. I'm like, hey, Andy is the first host I was on the show. And he's like, oh, you're a great team. And I'm like, come on, Andy, be honest. I was terrible. And he's like, well, I'm sure you've gotten much better. But Ben, just like you said, you just kind of get out there and try and do it. And maybe it takes 10 reps, 50 reps, 100 reps. But over time, you will get better at it. And I love the idea of just doing Instagram Live where you might have 2 people watch it anyway. So who cares? Just go for it, right?
Yeah, some of my most polished episodes with my best guests aren't the most popular episode. Like, I had Catherine Teed. It was her first ever podcast. In less than a year, literally like 3 months, she went viral on LinkedIn, became like, just, I don't know how she did it. She doesn't even know how she did it exactly. And I brought her on the podcast and we just talked about what you're doing, why you're doing it, what's working. We tried to solve the puzzle together. And it wasn't her best interview. She's going to do better ones in the future. It wasn't my best podcast episode in terms of like being polished and perfect. But a lot of people reached out because they liked that it was raw. Her family members and her supporters listened. And that was ended up being one of the more popular podcasts because it was rough, raw, imperfect, and didn't just sound like... Tony Robbins is a great example. Love him to death. But everything that comes out of his mouth just feels scripted. He tells the same stories, the same, he's been doing it forever. Sometimes that unpolished, ugly episode where you feel like you failed is actually exactly what the audience member wanted to hear.
I think that's so true. And this is your world more than mine, but I've heard that on LinkedIn and even Instagram, the selfie videos that are unedited and get a lot more reach and are a lot more successful than, like you said, the super polished ones that, because at the end of the day, I think people want to relate and connect with other people and they want to hear, they're okay with ums and ahs or screw ups because that's just how real world is.
Have you seen Tai Lopez here in my garage?
Yes. It's
a great example. They've like done studies and taught this at Harvard, but he's just holding like, this is an old video, and he's just holding what's now an old iPhone. And he's like, here I am in my garage. Look at all these nice cars. Well, what's more important than these cars is knowledge. And then it's all his books behind him. And it's, he's umming and ahhing. It's not a perfect video, but the way he moves the camera from the cars to him to the this, the way that he stutters, he has a Southern accent. He just seems like an everyday guy, but he's achieved things that the everyday person can only imagine. This was one of the greatest marketing campaigns ever, and he filmed it holding a freaking phone in front of his head. That's a masterclass, but everybody can film a video just with a phone right in front of our face.
And I think that's great. And one of the things you said in there is that Ty's like, hey, this is knowledge. And I think a lot of times people overthink, and I'm curious, I want to hear what you think about this. People aren't willing to share on LinkedIn, so to speak, because they're afraid that people are going to laugh at them. And I tend to believe that the audience on LinkedIn are pretty forgiving and that people should get out of their comfort zone and do it. What's your thoughts on that? Should you over curate things, or should you just, again, just go for it, share the knowledge?
Just go for it. Just do it. You know, the thing is, people aren't going to like criticize you. They're probably going to cheer you on. And there are certain categories that I'm not an expert at, but if you have polarizing political views, if you have something that is going to divide the people, you might get hate comments and you might get avid supporters. But, and I'm not an expert on that. I'm like super like agreeable. If you're posting something that isn't overly polarizing, that's true to you, that is something that the person yesterday needed to hear, you a month ago needed to hear, you a year ago needed to hear, the person who's just a step behind you is going to need to hear that as well. So we sometimes feel like an imposter because we're not at the end destination, but sometimes just documenting our we never actually reach an end destination, but documenting the journey, yeah. Documenting the journey that gets us from zero to hero, where we were to where we're going, is brilliant, because as we grow, our audience will grow with us, and you never know, they could be 10 years older than you, or they could be 8 years old in theory. You never know who out there needs your message. So that imposter syndrome, that this isn't good enough, it's not pure enough, I'm not at the end destination yet, so I can't talk about it, is a big killer of momentum, and I don't think it's necessary.
Listeners, you know what I like what Ben said is, if it's true to you, you know, you don't need to be Brené Brown or Tony Robbins or any of these massive people. If you believe something and it's helped you, go ahead and share it out there. Because like Ben just said, maybe that will connect with one person or somebody, and that will really help them as well. So I think that's great advice. We're almost coming up on time here, but I wanted to get back to the success of your podcast, because you said you basically went from starting it to replacing your salary within a year. And I mean, that for the audience, that just doesn't happen to everybody, for one. And it's really hard. But can you share a couple steps that you've been able to do that was able to take your, because you got a massive podcast and or a massive group of podcasts, but can you just share a couple steps of what you were able to do to get your podcast off the ground to make it as successful as it is today?
Totally. And one time I did a presentation, I think we called it How to Make a dollar per view on YouTube. And it was meant to be clickbait, because you're not making money off the YouTube. You're making money off the business sales. You're just using YouTube as a networking platform, using the podcast as a networking platform. And we could do 10 hours on this. So I'm going to give just like some broad stuff that I kind of did. I did it without knowing what I was doing, but now that I understand it, it's easy just to mimic this. The first and most simple but most important aspect is like, who do I serve? Why am I doing this? And let's create three categories. And we can actually draw a line, two lines down the page and write plus, minus, and equals at the top. A plus is a mentor. They're a coach. They're someone that you would maybe even pay money to learn from. A minus is a mentee. They're your audience. You're the one mentoring them. They possibly, they're a client. They'll pay money to learn from you. An equals is a peer-to-peer support. That could be someone in your industry, or that could even be a referral partner. If I'm a roofer, I want to know curb appeal people. If I'm a remodeler, I want to know kitchen remodeling. They could be peers. So there's plus, mentor, minus, mentee. Equals is a peer. I set up a Rochester, New York business podcast to talk to business owners, and I had a marketing firm that does online marketing for business owners. And I wasn't going in pitching anybody. I didn't even really know what I was doing. But what was beautiful about that setup is I accidentally hit plus, minus, and equals all at once because everyone I had on was a business owner. They were mentors of mine. I was learning from them. All of them were prospects. They were potential clients. I could serve them, not in how to run a business, but how to market your business. I've been doing this. And they were equals in the fact that they were peer-to-peer. We're both business owners from Rochester, New York. We're just trying to figure it out. So if you understand what your zone of genius is, why you're starting the podcast or why you're starting the live event or the blog, but why you're starting this podcast, what's my zone of genius? What's my plus, minus, equals? It's almost like a combo platter if your guest does all of it for you. But how can I figure out who's in those categories? It can be a description of what they're like a profile of them, or I prefer literal names in each three category. Those are your guests. Those are your partners. Those are your referral partners. Those are your advocates. And if you want to flip the script and you want a guest on podcast, you do the exact same audience, activity. And then you just reach out to hosts that have audiences in those categories.
So one more time for our audience, real quickly, can you explain the plus, minus, and equal again?
Plus is a mentor. Mentor, coach, someone that you're learning from. The beauty, and I'll go one layer deeper on this, there's a lot of people that wouldn't spend a moment with me until I started a podcast. And the podcast was the bridge to get mentors into my world, where one person reached out to me and they're like, I've worked at this company for 19 years, Damon, and you just learned more about my boss than I did in my 19 years here.
Like, so true, Ben.
I appreciate the podcast, but I also kind of feel dumb that, but it set the stage to ask questions that maybe they don't answer to typical people. So it's like mentor, the minus is a mentee. It's an audience member, but also it could be a client because you're serving them. If you have a marketing podcast and people listening need marketing help, you might not be good at anything but marketing. You become the mentor, they become the mentee. Equals is a partner or a peer, peer-to-peer support and collaboration. And I think in any category of life, we want to be surrounding ourselves with people better than us. We want to be surrounding ourselves with people that we can teach, and we want to surround ourselves with the right network, the right top 5, 6, 10 people that are peers that we can lift each other up together. I don't think this goes for podcasting, goes for literally almost any category you can think of. In athletics, it would be the same thing. Find a coach, coach someone, peer-to-peer support on your team. It's all the same.
I think that that's freaking gold. I love that. And I want our audience also to know that the minus isn't a negative, because a lot of times the coachees or the mentees, I learn from them as well. You know, I learn their perspective. And what I think, not want to sound dramatic, but what you said is so beautiful, is that you're always learning and you're getting these people in and you're building these relationships, which is awesome, you know? And I want to piggyback on being a guest on podcasts for anybody who's out there thinking about it, or hosting your own podcast. The access you get to individuals and the people I've been able to interview. I'm interviewing a guy who's today who helped start Prime Video. And, you know, outside of that, how would you ever get access to somebody like that? And I find it as a tremendous learning opportunity. It's almost like a free hour of consulting I get from somebody like you that I'm going to use this, you know, this plus, minus, equal, and everything else and the keys to success. So I think there's so much value in there for individuals. I do have one last question because I heard you talk about this and then we'll kind of wrap it up. What do you mean by, and hopefully I don't mess this up, don't be prescriptive, be descriptive?
Yeah, 100%. We talked about this with the playbook, the key to success. Like, I run away when someone thinks they know everything I need and they haven't even met me. Like, a lot of people are prescribing solutions. And at the end of the day, it depends on the role. I actually, for the most part, want my doctor to be prescriptive. I want my surgeon to know how to go in and do the surgery efficiently. Prescriptive isn't bad, but when you're building a personal brand, when you're building camaraderie, when you're having a conversation, you don't just tell someone what to do and what not to do. It's not very persuasive. But if you can describe a storyline, if you can describe how something made you feel, and specifically when I think about that thought, it's in content creation. We talked about this. You feel like you're not like the total guru expert. You're not going to pretend like you're the guru expert. You're just going to describe what you know, what you learned, and how can it help people. And if we're descriptive and if we document the journey, people see like where we started, where we're going, how we got there, what tactics we went in. But if I were to just come in and say, you need to shave,
yeah, boom,
it's just like, why do I need to shave? Like, I'm a beard model. You didn't ask me a single question. And I think a lot of us go into sales calls thinking that we have the greatest solution for everybody under the sun, but we haven't given them an opportunity to describe themselves, for us to describe our relationship with their needs, and then together walk to the solution versus just trying to prescribe a problem that we haven't even diagnosed yet.
No, that's great. Thanks for explaining that. And the descriptive part is around stories and how powerful stories are, and people really connect with stories. Ben, this has been awesome. Is there anything else you want to share with our audience before we wrap up?
Nah, I mean, we talked about this. Like, I'm the celebrity. You invited me on. I'm like grateful to be here. So if the listener hasn't hit subscribe, it's like the lowest barrier to entry. That's huge for the host. Hit subscribe. If you want brownie points, hit 5 stars. If you're a true winner, you can leave a short review. I know a lot of people, you already done it, but subscribe, review, comment. Real Business Connections is my show. You can find that wherever you found this or Google it. But I do invite you to subscribe here first. And then if you want to get more of me, just type in Real Business Connections.
Well, great, Ben. You helped do some of my work for me right there. So thank you very much. And for you listeners out there who really enjoyed this, and if you know somebody who's looking to start their own personal brand, do me a favor. Text this episode to them. I'm sure they'll get a lot of value out of it. And until next time, everybody, stay curious and keep learning. Have a great day. See ya. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.